WPFW, Washington. Live from Ben's Next Door, 12th and U Streets Northwest, it's the Raucous Caucus with Garland Nixon, Mark Levine, and Terry D. Kester. It's seriously funny, and it begins right now.
And good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Raucous Caucus. I am Terry D. Kester, and we have the Raucous tonight. We don't quite yet have the caucus, but we will. But I do have, by the grace of God, stumbling up the stairs, falling into place, drooling all over the place in the process, my colleague,
Garland Nixon. Well, when you gave that description, they knew who it was. That's not like you had to say the name after that.
Right. Anyway, I'm Terry D. Kester. This is Garland Nixon. Mr. Levine will be here momentarily. Oh,
no, he won't.
He showed up again.
There goes the neighborhood.
We did everything we could. Well, just in time.
That's right.
Just in time.
And where are we, Mr. Levine?
We are at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street.
There
Northwest.
Goes the whole show.
You can I make it you. Just like I did, just in time. And
you didn't
join
make
us.
It just in time.
What am I, 12 seconds late?
Exactly.
Exactly. You know, 12 seconds. Well, what I want to do tonight is I want to retroactively change the time when I arrived here. Because I was 12
just
seconds
because
late.
Just because Mitt can do that doesn't mean you can do that.
You caught my segue.
I'm sorry.
Very nicely done.
I pay attention, you know.
So just if Mitt Romney can work for Bain from 1999 to 2002 and then retroactively resign in 1999.
I love it.
I retroactively arrived at this studio on time.
Well, what are you talking about, Mark? He didn't work for Bain. Now, he was the president and CEO and sole owner.
Right.
They were paying him.
Right.
And he attended meetings.
And
but he didn't have any association whatsoever with Bain.
He under penalty of perjury to the SEC and the Massachusetts State's officials that he was the guy that was running Bain.
Right. Yeah.
But when he ran Bain, the nice thing about him is all they did was advise companies how to make money. They didn't do anything nasty like selling companies offshore and everything.
Laying off workers. None of that stuff.
Fascinating.
No, advice.
Let me tell our listeners why it matters. Because people are like, so what? So he left in 1999.
Because he lied.
And some of our listeners might not know. Fill them in on exactly what we're talking about.
Mitt Romney. So we're talking about
Willard
Mitt Romney.
Mitt Romney, the Republican nominee for President of the United States, you may have heard of him. He's running for office. Is running largely based on what he did at Bain Capital, where he was a pioneer in outsourcing American jobs. As President Obama put it, he created 800,000 jobs in India, China, Thailand, and Mexico.
Right. I thought he was a pioneer in greed.
Well, it's the same
thing. I guess that's not possible, actually.
No. I was about to say.
Greed's been around for a long time.
When you hire child workers at $1 a day out of Thailand,
that's
you also
much.
Make a lot of money. So you can do both.
Yeah, okay.
You can have both greed and outsourcing.
Oh, okay.
Great.
All right, you can do both. So, now... Since
while you pause, let us just have a moment of silence for Ross Perot, who warned us umpteen years ago about the giant sucking sound as all your jobs are going to go abroad.
Isn't that amazing? How prophetic he was.
And he happened to be a business leader, by the way, and very successful in his business, as a matter of fact. And he saw exactly what was happening in the Clinton administration and the Reagan administration, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. All the jobs going away.
So
America. Tough luck.
So Willard Mitt Romney is running based on what he did. And so Barack Obama and other media sources have brought out the pioneering and outsourcing, and also just some of the real shuttered jobs, factories that closed down in 99 and 2000 and 2001 because they were heavily laden in debt because Bain highly leveraged the companies, putting thousands of American workers out of work at once were profitable companies. Now, when Obama brought this out, those fact checkers in the media said, no, you can't talk about that, President Obama. You get Pinocchio. Goes for that, President Obama, because that happened after 1999 when Obama says he resigned when Romney says he resigned from Bain.
Yeah.
Now we learned that the resignation was retroactive.
Isn't that nice?
He resigned from Bain in 1999 in 2002.
Yeah.
You got that.
He gave his
1999 resignation in 2002.
He did have, quote, a leave of absence. Now, that's what we're all dreaming of. This is the new American dream.
Oh, I want that leave of absence.
That you can have a job, be it at Walmart or whatever, and if things aren't going exactly the way you want, or if you want to be governor of some state or something like that, you get a leave of absence.
And you still get paid.
You still get paid.
Yeah.
You get all the benefits. You can even make all the decisions in terms of your job.
And in fact, we know now that he went back to several meetings in Massachusetts.
But it's a leave of absence, and you just do what you want to do, getting another job, and then you say, oh, geez, now I did really
resign. Well, you know, I think I'm going to retroactively take a leave of absence from the Raucous Caucus. I wasn't here the last 6 months, Mark.
Apparently,
I was on the air every week. I was talking with you guys.
Right.
We discussed a lot of things. I was not any part of the Raucous Caucus.
I could have sworn by some of the points you made at the last show that you were taking a leave of absence. Am I wrong?
No, that was his brain. That was not his voice.
And you're out of line for going in that direction, Terry. I mean, come on. You're some kind. That's a socialist argument.
Oh, socialist.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
sorry.
You don't,
that.
You don't love capitalism.
No, I don't.
I will retroactively pretend that neither of you spoke right now and continue with what I was describing.
Oh, just retroactively.
Yeah, right.
Just retroactively explain.
I like this retroactive stuff, Lord.
We're going to be using this until November, that's for sure.
This is great.
All right, so.
Maybe we can have a retroactive election, too.
Well, yes, because Gore won the one in 2000.
Right.
He should be serving.
You're right. Let's do that.
He's finished 8 years, and that's why we have the peace and prosperity that the next President Obama could follow after President Gore.
This is better than revisionism. This is fantastic.
Time machine is what
I
it
love
is.
Love it. All
you
right.
just say it's different.
You just say it's different. So here's the deal. So in 1999, they have now found a press release from Mitt Romney pointing out that although he was going to run Olympics, don't worry, Bain investors, he is still the sole owner. He is still
the CEO,
the president. He is still the CEO.
Yeah.
He will continue to make key investment and personnel decisions. That's a direct quote. Key investment and personnel decisions. So don't worry, those of you that are interested in Bain. Mitt Romney is in charge until retroactively he's not in charge. Because what happened in those years were really some of Bain's worst. I mean, that's where you find the years of highly, highly leveraged corporations.
And that's saying something when you say it was their worst.
And you know, just for a moment, let me give it, and please add to it if I haven't got it quite correct. But I mean, what Bain does and what all these companies did do is they'll buy up some company that may or may not be struggling, but it's not in too good a shape usually, or it might even be in good shape. In any case, they buy it. They trim it to the bones by firing as many people as they possibly can. They get it into extraordinary debt, but they create a productivity mythology almost that just scores on the stock market. So the company's doing better because now it's more productive than everything else, even though the debt may be rising in the company. So it looks good on paper. So it gets really high ratings on the stock market. Then they sell it instantly, reap the profit. Whoever gets the company next is stuck with $60 trillion worth of debt.
And
they usually go bankrupt.
Yeah, it falls apart and closes down. And everybody, whoever's left with their jobs, they also get laid off.
Yeah,
so
right.
What it ends up
it's the American dream in reverse. Thank you, Mitt.
So you have a nice going concern, like a paper company that's doing just fine, that has decent profits, a nice, boring cash cow with a few thousand workers. And what they do is, instead of buying it with Bain's own money, which would put themselves at risk.
That's key. That's key. Yeah.
Right. All right. Because you wouldn't want to risk your own money if you're a multi-billionaire. You don't get to be a multi-billionaire by wasting your own money on companies you buy.
Yeah.
Instead, what they do is they leverage the company, meaning they use the company's own assets, borrowing against them in the bank, buy the own company. It's great. It's like saying, Terry, I want your car.
Yeah.
So I'm going to use your car as an asset to get a loan to buy your car with your car. So that means basically you give me your car. I don't give you anything except a bunch of paper that says that you have the same debt you had before,
and
but I get the car.
This is the new American dream.
Yes.
Isn't that neat?
Yes.
Isn't that neat?
So what he
and you wonder how we got in this jam we're in, don't you,
wonder, don't
so
you?
So by using the company's assets to leverage the company, to borrow loans on the company, to buy the company with the company, then what they would do is because they couldn't afford to pay back that.
Of course not. That wasn't the plan. They never intended to pay back.
They would fire all the workers.
Or
sell
most
it for
of them.
Scrapped.
Yeah.
Pay back the investors. Bain gets first out.
Oh, what a shock.
Because they didn't put any money in.
Right.
So therefore they get all the money out.
Sure.
Right. And then they make a boatload of profits. And they make a lot, frankly, just on investment fees and the counseling fees, because they canceled this company that was working just fine on how to go into bankruptcy and destroy itself. Fire all the workers. Bain makes a hefty profit. Sure, thousands of workers lose their jobs. Sure,
so
a great American company goes by the wayside. But Mitt Romney makes money, and that's the American dream.
And that's the American dream. The American dream now is, can we keep on getting more money to Mitt Romney? That's what we really, that's the dream. It's a new dream for America. Give money to Mitt. No matter what it is, no matter what happens, whether he's running for office or when he's running hedge funds, just make sure Mitt gets lots of money.
So this
the new
is,
plan.
This is why the retroactivity is important. Because the media has reported...
Couldn't we just call it a lie?
No, no, no.
Oh,
Jerry.
Oh,
no, no, no. It's retroactively
statement.
The truth.
Well, now, he called Obama a liar.
He did.
Can't
he
we?
He did. Well, look, you know, retroactively, the Confederates won the Civil War.
Yeah, right.
So it's
I forgot that.
Yeah. Right. I mean, look who's running the Tea Party right now.
Yeah.
So,
right.
Look.
Yeah, it's not so retroactive now that I think of it.
When the Boston Globe, when America's newspapers, when the Obama campaign pointed out what happened at American Paper, pointed out all these companies that were leveraged and lost money and all of that stuff, when that happened, the fact checkers of the world, the people who were complaining about Obama, said, hey, that's not fair. Romney says that he retired in 1999. And he did say he retired in 1999. The only thing that wasn't brought clear at that time is that he retired in 1999 in 2002.
Right.
And that's why it matters. Because between 1999 and 2002 were some of the worst excesses of offshoring and leveraged buyouts.
By
not
Bain.
That it was illegal.
No, of course not.
Right. And the other part of it is, the other part that's important is, and I think this is downplayed, it is a felony to file false documents with the Security and Exchange Commission.
Let's finish.
Yeah, go ahead.
So, okay, so he in 1999, he goes on a leave of absence to do the Salt Lake City Olympics. They tell all the people involved with Bain, don't worry, they issue a public press release, we've now found out, from Mitt Romney's staff saying, hey, don't worry, I'll still be around to make key investment and personnel decisions. He continues to do meetings.
He's going to still be around to enjoy firing people.
And
remember
right.
that quote?
That's right, personnel decisions.
Yeah. He loves to fire people.
He just
people.
Come in
to
for those
this
days,
day,
you know, like celebratory.
Yeah. To this day, he hasn't released his tax returns.
Of course not.
So we don't know exactly his involvement in those years.
But hasn't he released?
But he was being paid. We do know that he was being paid.
He was being paid at least six figures, which, as we all know, isn't that much to
Mitt Romney, I mean, that was what?
Chump change.
That was like a tip to him.
Yeah. Exactly. But in 2002...
Except Romney doesn't tip. That's a fact, too. You can quote me.
In 2002...
But you better verify it. Sorry. Go ahead, Mark.
In 2002, he decides to run for governor of Massachusetts. Maybe even the Senate campaign, then the gubernatorial campaign.
Well, so the Olympics were over. He had to do something.
He talks with his staff at Bain, and they decide to retroactively make his leave of absence permanent, therefore changing in 2002 his decision to retire to 1999.
You know the
but
nice thing?
But even after 2002, he continues to get paid to this very day from Bain, which continues to do worse and worse and worse things.
This is so neat, because if we really invest in this as the American dream, that means every American worker, just like Mitt Romney, when they leave a job, they can continue to get paid by the company, right?
Yeah.
Workers
actually, their unions will negotiate for pensions, which is a legal contractual requirement to get paid after they no longer work at the company. But then companies like Bain will come in and declare bankruptcy and get rid of all those pensions. So Bain actually provided for Mitt Romney exactly what it denied.
Are you trying to say, are you coming in here late? I have to mention, I just have to remind.
Retroactively, I was on time, Terry.
Are you coming in here?
You can't argue with that one.
And tell me that that Mitt Romney's dream is to destroy American workers.
No, it's not a dream to him. It's a reality to us.
It's
a dream. But the other thing
I'm not
saying
he necessarily enjoyed it. I'm just saying he profited.
He said he
from
enjoyed
it.
But the other thing about
he did say he enjoyed it.
Bain filed papers with the Securities and Exchange Commission from 1999 to 2002 that said Mitt Romney was the sole owner president.
Right.
You know, CEO, the whole nine yards. So they filed papers that said he was leading and running the company. Which, if they were false, would be a felony. So it's either one of two things.
Either he's lying now
to the American people, or they committed a felony, one of the two.
So he has to admit he's lying now, because that's the only other
thing. So he's going to say, well, no.
Did you hear what he said? I saw him on Meet the Press. No, it wasn't Meet the Press. It was, I think it was
television.
Fox.
Who cares?
It was Fox. I saw Ed Gillespie on Meet the Press. They asked Mitt Romney the question, you know, were you lying then or are you lying now? And he said, it's disgusting that President Obama brings up these incredible, ridiculous charges. And then the follow-up from the person asking the question you think would be, well, just were you lying then or you lying now? What was right? Did you retire in 99 or 2002? Which was it? Instead, the follow-up was, do you think it's unfair that they do this, their campaign?
Oh, yeah. How dare they?
That is the strong mainstream media we have today.
Yeah. He's going to make a great president. Because just think of this policy of retroactive.
He's got plausible deniability down.
We can do retroactive wars.
Right.
Yeah. Instead of preemptive wars, we can have retroactive wars.
Right. We didn't go into Vietnam.
No. I mean,
we never. It never happened.
Right. We can do retroactive economic policies. We can do retroactive Medicare.
If I rob a bank, if I rob a bank and they say, Garland, you robbed the First National Bank in D.C., and I could say, well, retroactively, I was in Pittsburgh that day.
That's
so I couldn't have possibly done
it. So you have an alibi.
Think about it.
This is good. This is just going to help solve all the American economic and social problems.
And what's interesting
problems.
Is there are two things that kind of converge here, and that and the issue of his taxes. Because of his taxes.
Oh, more than that converges, but go ahead.
Because, and I think they come together, but Mitt Romney will not release his tax returns beyond what, 2009?
2 years.
2 years.
Which is the least, the only presidential campaign that has released as little taxes as this one is Mitt Romney. Is John McCain's.
Don't you dare call Mitt Romney a president yet.
Presidential nominee.
Okay.
John McCain never became president either.
Thank you.
Well, he released for 2 years. But no winning president has released less than 5 years.
You know what's funny? One of the things that Mitt Romney
Mitt
Romney said, one of his defenses, if you can call it that, was, well, John Kerry's wife, who wasn't running for president,
right.
She didn't release her tax returns beyond 2 years. And nobody said to him,
Romney to tell us about her dressage horse for the last 10 years. I'd be interested in finding out.
Not only that, last time I checked, John Kerry lost.
That's true.
So
he's a winning presidential candidate.
Well, but that's
his own father, Mitt Romney's father, is governor of Michigan, released 12 years of tax returns and argued that it was improper not to, that he should lay it all out for everyone to see. Let's talk about why, gentlemen, I think Mitt Romney is hiding his tax returns. I'll tell you why.
He's a crook. He's a crook, a thief, and a multi-billionaire.
I think that
are you kidding?
He stupidly didn't remembered where to park his assets. I mean, the irony is, he ran in 08.
To park his what?
His assets.
Oh, I thought you said, never mind.
I said assets. Retroactively, I said something
Mark,
else.
Are you saying he didn't know where to sit?
Because he ran in 08, and then he must have done some really squirrely stuff in 08 and 09, because he was running again in 2010. I mean, his tax returns were 2010 and 2011. What do we know even from 2010? Which he originally refused to release, by the way. It just came out because Newt Gingrich harped on it. He had money in Swiss bank accounts. He had money in the Cayman Islands. He had money in all kinds of tax shelters that may have been legal, but let's just say are not available to your average working class.
To you and me.
Stiff.
No, they aren't.
You know, Terry, I would say this.
Yes.
And this is what I think. He is by far, if I'm not mistaken, the wealthiest presidential candidate of all time. Is that
probably
true?
Probably close. Well, maybe Franklin.
So.
I'm not sure, but anyway.
But
more than John Kerry, isn't it?
John Kerry, John Kerry is worth 25%, if that, of him. But what I'm saying is this: to get that wealthy, to gain that much wealth. You know, this ain't gonna sound bad. I think you almost gotta be crooked.
Yes.
In our society, I don't think you're gonna get that rich without having some
full of skeletons. You can have a brilliant idea, right? I mean, you can be a Bill Gates or a Steve Jobs or even a Mark Zuckerberg, whatever you want to think of him. He came up with a good idea.
Microsoft was accused of some pretty nasty things in their day.
That's true.
And they paid the government a whole lot of money for
no matter how you cut it, and this is a little extreme, but you know
which would be so out of character for you.
I know,
Terry.
It's the first time.
You extreme?
Yes, it's the first time.
Retroactively, I don't remember anything you've ever said extreme, Terry.
Thank you. Me neither.
Retroactively.
But anyway, I don't think studying history, as I have studied a lot of history and economics, you can't achieve great wealth without some degree somewhere of simple exploitation. Now, you can use other words for that. You can use other words, you know, such as seeing a rising trend or judging something, you know, but you still can't do it. You can't get that kind of wealth without pushing at least a few people, if not companies, if not laws, just pushing them aside. And if you check the wealth of anybody that I know that's achieved extreme wealth, there is, including Zuckerberg, most likely.
Well,
you push other people aside. You exploit somehow or other. You take advantage of people. You take advantage of situations. Sometimes it can be relatively innocent, but you can't achieve that wealth without
pushing
others aside.
Well, you know, George Will made a statement, and this is another thing that's interesting. There are a number of Republicans. Let me throw one. I'm going to throw something out there. There are a number of Republicans, the governor of Alabama, George Will, Pete Sessions, who have said Mitt Romney needs to release his tax records, and he's wrong if he doesn't, and he must be hiding something. Here's what I have to think about, conspiracy theory. You're going to love this, Terry. I think that there is still a very powerful element within the Republican Party that would like to go to the convention and be done with Mitt Romney and put someone else out there. And I think there are those who are saying within the Republican Party, this guy is really screwed up. We don't trust him, and I think part of it is because he's a Mormon. They don't trust him. And I think there are those who are saying, if we can politically wound this guy enough, when we get to the convention, we can replace him with someone else.
God, that goes one step too far.
Yeah, but it's Mark. It's a great conspiracy theory.
No, look, I think we got to check.
What do you think, Terry?
We got to check the dosage on that, Garland. I'm sorry.
For once, Garland has gone off the rails.
Yeah. They're trying to take him down.
Yes, there are Republicans that still don't like Mitt Romney. Yes,
five.
There are Republicans
maybe six.
Who won't vote for a Mormon. There are definitely people who feel that he's flip-flopped too much. They don't know where he stands. That's all true. But just according to the rules of the Republic, I mean, he's got all the delegates he needs plus a whole lot more.
The Republican Party ever stick to the rules?
When it applies,
you remember the 2000
their
election?
Own people,
you remember the 2000
that's
election?
Different. That's different. Look.
The rules.
No, the rules
retroactively, they stick to the
exactly.
Rules.
Exactly.
Yeah, right, yeah.
No. When it comes to denying blacks the right to vote, they're going to they'll be there. When it comes to denying students the right to vote, they're there.
Latinos.
When it comes to getting Latinos off the voter rolls, they're there. But when it comes to making sure that the Republican front runner stays Republican nominee, I guarantee you, they ain't going to break that rule.
I'm going to go one danger, man.
This is going to shock you guys, but I'm going to go one step further on this extremism.
All right.
This is getting fun, guys.
Yeah, I like this.
It's retroactively getting dangerous.
Retroactively. I am going to assert a possibility that Mitt Romney, this is going to sound terrible, but I'm just looking at his history, is a sociopath. And I mean
that
he out-extremed you, Garland.
Now, I mean that in the sense of, you know, not that he's out, you know, doing a mass murder or anything else, but a sociopath.
No shallow graves in the graveyard.
Well, not yet. Maybe right. Retroactively.
Right.
But a sociopath is simply a person, you know, who can, in fact, compartmentalize their life, separate their life, so that they do not care or are even basically aware of the consequences of many of their actions.
Mm-hmm. Are you the attorney for Mitt Romney's dog, Seamus? Is that what's really going on here?
Well, that's part of it.
Seamus, you know, that's evidence in it.
You know, but I mean, this pattern of his, of, you know, going back to the assault on that young man in prep school, when every one of his colleagues, every single one, swears they remember it in detail, and can tell you exactly what Mitt did as he shaved the head of this young man, humiliating this young man. People with that kind of bullying don't understand, literally don't understand. It's a disease. I mean, I'll give him credit. Let's put it this way. Mitt Romney is diseased. It's a disease that you do not understand the consequences of your actions when you're hurting other people.
Did you say Mitt Romney?
That is the definition of a sociopath. The same thing is true with this whole thing of, I enjoy firing people. The same thing is true with the whole approach of Bain Capital and this kind of capitalism. It's, I don't give a damn because I don't even recognize that I'm hurting people.
Well, you know what?
That is a sociopath.
If you really think about it, there is some credibility to that argument. If you think about Mitt Romney, here's a guy who kind of stands for nothing. You know what I mean? He really...
and he stands really loud and clearly for nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'll give him that. What he stands for, he stands for in a big way, and that is nothing.
I don't think he stands for nothing. Maybe he stands for everything.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you think about what Terry's saying, this guy's psychological profile... Anything that he needs to be anything to win. You know, a guy who I'm to the left of Ted, you know.
Ted Kennedy on gay rights.
Ted Kaczynski, for some goddamn, I don't know.
No, he said he's to the left of Ted Kennedy on gay rights.
Yeah.
He said he was pro-choice.
Yeah.
He's gone against all of that.
And now he's a far-right Tea Party member.
Right, and he wants to deport all the illegal immigrants here via self-deportation.
Severely conservative, but, isn't that the name?
But,
the
yes, he's
is?
Severely conservative, but
severely
now,
something.
In front of Latino journalists, he suggests without saying that he would completely flip-flop at everything he says. I think this is a guy, and I think if you look at what Bain does, who, just like Bain, will do anything to make money.
Yeah.
They'll fire anyone to make money. They'll destroy a company to make money. They'll outsource thousands of American jobs to make money. They'll leverage an entire company to make money. Just like Bain will do anything to make money, their sole shareholder and leader will say or do anything to be president.
Yeah. And,
I think so too.
Yeah. And, you know, a person who will look you in the face, you know, when you think about a sociopath or something, you know, I was in law enforcement and I dealt with people that were truly sociopaths that would look you in the face, you know, with the body in front of them and a knife in their hand and say, oh, what are you talking about? I have no idea who killed that gentleman. No, you know, well, we've got videotape of you. Well, no, I don't have no idea what
you're I mean, now you're going to think this is really extreme, but this is not even my idea.
I'm liking this, Terry. Keith, let's flow with this extremism, man.
Okay. You know, there are studies that a high percentage, and I don't remember the exact numbers, and no, I'm not making this up, the high percentage of CEOs of major companies are, in fact, sociopathic. There is a disconnect. I'm not making this up.
I worry about the, go ahead, finish your point.
No, I mean, you know, there's no difference. You know, I'm not, look, you can, there's extremes and degrees on everything. This is not, I'm not talking about a mass murderer sociopath.
Right.
It's like talking about somebody who has depression. It doesn't mean they're suicidal.
Right.
You know, this is a mental condition that is not uncommon. In fact, there's a high percentage of successful CEOs who are, in fact, sociopathic, and it simply is nothing more than this mental ability or inability to connect with the consequences, specifically in terms of personal relations and personal feelings with other people.
Well, they
in fact, usually can be charming. They can be very intelligent. This is not a mystery.
Let me pull it back from the label and simply talk about the
diagnosis
difference.
Is the word you're looking for.
I'm not claiming that I'm a psychiatrist. A great book called The Sociopath Next Door, which makes the point Terry's making, which says there are a lot of people there who clinically fall under the category of a sociopath who may be living next door to you. In fact, I think there's one seated to the left of both of us.
You remember Mark was late tonight. Is that
retroactively, I was on
Speaking
time.
Speaking of sociopaths, what was that, Mark?
Here's what I want to say. And by the way, let me first of all remind everybody that we are at Ben's Next Door, 1211. Right.
Don't tell them where we are after what I've been saying. Are you kidding?
If you want to come get Terry Garland, just come up the stairs.
Some sociopath Republican, come up here and shoot me.
We'll be the ones hiding under the table.
Come up the stairs in the back. They're the ones that to my right. Just go ahead, take them. I'm not willing to call him a sociopath because to me, it's not about the label. It's about the function. And the heart of the Republican argument is, if you are good at making a ton of money and greedily fire workers in order to profit, put money in your own pocket, you will be a good president of the United States. That's the heart of their argument. And I think what you two are pointing out, while I'm not willing to use the label, is that what is best for one's own interests isn't what's best for the country. And it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. I want to address that point when we come back. Folks, if you want to join us again, we're at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street. Please join us in the back. There are some seats open. We'd love to hear from you. And you can give a comment on the air if you like. We'll be right back after this.
We hope.
Have a car that you're not using anymore? Help us by donating your used vehicle to WPFW, where it will be sold at auction. And the proceeds will help keep your favorite Jazz and Justice station alive and running. The benefit? You get a tax write-off while supporting quality programming.
That's what I'm talking about.
For more information, just call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-WPFW-CAR.
Into the night and back to the Raucous Caucus.
Hello, welcome back to the Raucous Caucus. I am Mark Levine, sitting here with
Garland Nixon,
and
I'm not giving my name out. I'm sorry, I'm not giving my name out.
And the guy that called Mitt Romney a sociopath,
I'm just diagnosing
Terry
a pattern.
D. Kester.
Just diagnosing a pattern here. Let the chips fall where they may, and I hope they fall on his head.
Luckily, like Mitt Romney, we can dial it back and retroactively pretend you never said anything.
I didn't say a thing. Garland said it.
Well, Well, retroactively, it's true. Just as Mitt Romney retroactively took away the 3 years he worked at Bain. But here's the thing about it. When you retroactively retire in 1999, did he retroactively pay back the millions of dollars he received in those
years?
That's
a good point.
If you're going to retroactively resign... He should then, if he didn't work those 3 years, he should pay back the money he took.
Right? Well, then you get into double dipping, you know, and that's kind of a big thing in Washington, D.C. So we can't really knock double dipping.
Here's the thing.
It is the new American dream,
He's
at least in Washington.
To make, welcome, please. Have a
welcome.
Seat.
Welcome.
Mark, I've got to read something for you. The name of an article.
Here we go.
Mitt Romney is a sociopath, a liar, or both, says Jeffrey Feger of Feger Law.
Who's he?
And America's top trial attorney, Jeffrey Feger of Feger Law PC, has launched a second politically charged commercial. And the bottom line, he says, he goes on to say, Romney's either a sociopath, a liar, or both.
You can call,
I go for both.
You can call Terry D. Kester the doctor of democracy right again. Go ahead. Just say
You're ahead of the curve.
I'm afraid of overstating the case.
Overstating the case on the Raucous Caucus? Are
Jeffrey
you kidding?
Why are we here?
I am afraid that when you call someone a sociopath, people don't take you seriously.
Does that mean I can't call Terry a sociopath?
No, that's
anymore
okay, because no one takes Terry seriously anyway.
Now, wait a minute.
But that's different. My point
and the truth is a valid defense.
My point is this. I want to focus on the lie, because it's really easy to say, did he retire in 99 or did he retire in 2002? He has told us repeatedly he retired in 1999. The documents he filed under oath, under penalty of perjury, repeatedly say he didn't do it till 2002. And the laughable assertion that he retroactively in 2002 resigned in 1999, and that's why he was telling us it was true so long. I got to say, for all those that called Bill Clinton a liar when he said it depends what the definition of is.
Well, I wouldn't use that to justify.
No. Right. My point is that on a scale of lying, claiming that you did something in 1999 retroactively in 2002, that takes the cake. That's something that is laughable.
Well, at the very least, and you know, I'm sorry if you know only half of the world agrees with me. I can accept that. The point is, he's taking advantage of a situation, and this has been a pattern throughout his life. Well, he takes advantage of the situation he's in. Whether or not it screws somebody else up is irrelevant. And this is a pattern that he's done, and he did it in Bain Capital.
But he's got caught now, and there's no way out of this particular thing.
The way out is to call President Obama a liar, which he's also doing.
Mark,
I can't figure out what Obama lied about, but anyway.
And Mark, what you say is very, very strong there, and what you say is very powerful, and I'll tell you why. Because we are kind of at a crossroad here. Mitt Romney is up against the wall. He's really up against the wall. People are saying, number one, release the tax returns. He's really taking heat for that, and we are months out, 4 or 5 months, whatever, out.
He's got to do it any moment.
Number two, we've got this whole Bain Capital thing that he is entangled with. Now, either the American people and the press are just going to say, oh, well, okay, we've been, you know, on this for 3 weeks, let's just forget about it. Or it's going to take him down. You can't continue to take
this
kind
of heat
down. What's going to happen? Is it going to dissipate?
Here's the problem,
Garland. Or is it going to stay on?
It's the same reason why we don't have enough people coming down joining us at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street Northwest. The problem is it's July.
Yeah.
And it's hot.
Yeah.
And people are on vacation. And the rule about presidential politics is you don't pay attention until Labor Day. And so what goes on in July and August, yes, we in Washington follow it. Yes, radio hosts follow it. But the question is, will they be able to sustain this into September? Or will people say, no, we've been there. We've already done that. Well, what did Mitt Romney say? Who cares? We're over it. So the question will be.
Do you think that's going to happen?
Yes. I predict, despite my concerns, fears, and accusations, that Mitt Romney will win the election.
Whoa.
And I don't like making that prediction, but I have been, I hate to say it.
Join us.
Come on in, sit down.
Sit down. You know, we're at Ben's Next Door.
We're
1211 U Street, live radio.
Psychological analysis of presidential candidates.
Well, I think what's going to be really interesting.
I have predicted every election right, I hate to say it, for the last 20 years.
Since 1860, if I'm not mistaken.
1860, as a matter of fact, yes.
Predicted George Bush in 2000?
Yes.
You were wrong.
You're right.
Al Gore won the election, so you're wrong.
About reality. Yeah, I'm talking about how the American system works.
Did you predict the Supreme Court would overturn the election?
Of course.
All right.
Of course.
Sure you did. I need to see the tapes. Retroactively, could you create those tapes for me? Backdate them a little bit.
Come to think of it, retroactively, you did predict that, Terry.
I did.
Exactly.
Right, exactly. Now you've got me confused on retroactively. Where the heck are we?
We are at Ben's Next Door, 12th New Street.
Well, I'll tell you what's going to be.
We are here every Tuesday, by the way, and we
still
really hope
you
will
win.
Join
Sorry.
Us. And if people in the audience want to come up to the microphone and say something, you're welcome to, or not, as the case may be. Go ahead, Carl. You were
just
saying.
Don't call me a sociopath.
What I think is going to be. What I think is.
Can I call you that retroactively? No.
Right. Yes, and then you can retroactively deny that you ever called him that.
Exactly.
But what's going to be interesting is watching the. I'm looking forward to the Republican convention.
Because, oh God! You're looking forward to the Republican convention.
Because there
have you nothing better to do in your life?
I'm looking forward to it.
Have you tried sex? I mean, come on! There's got to be something.
Actually, I haven't, but I'm sure it's wonderful.
I'm sure Tina Fey will do a great Sarah Palin.
Well, I think what's going to be great is we have to go to our
make your comment.
Is watching the element, watching the wing of the Republican Party, the ever broadening wing of the Republican Party that really doesn't like Mitt Romney and wants him out. How are they going to act? Are they going
to
continue?
They're
going
to pretend to love him.
They're going to fall right in line.
There's some people there that will never.
They're
going to
wink, wink, nod, nod. We love Mitt Romney. Absolutely.
Have you heard of?
I don't think so.
Have you heard of the goose step? They will fall right in line and march right along.
Let's go to one of our
esteemed guests. Yeah.
Eric Rainey, welcome. He's one of our guest hosts a few weeks back, and someone that often joins the Rock's Caucus. What's your question or comment?
Mark, I think Garland hit it on the head. This has happened before. The Republican, certain to be nominee, was the front runner. He had what appeared to be the delegates locked up. The other Republicans decided they didn't like him. They went to the convention.
What year are you talking about?
His father, named Romney.
Oh, really?
That was a long time ago.
So that happened with his father?
Yeah, and his cousin, one of Garland's cousins, got the nomination. His name was Nixon.
No, Richard Nixon.
I blame Garland for Watergate. Just so we're clear here, I do blame Garland for Watergate. Always have. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I certainly take responsibility.
You should.
I was six or something at the time, but I mean, I had a hand in the whole mess.
You shouldn't have done what your dad told you to do.
You were a cat burglar.
Let me tell you something. If I did it, it wasn't a crime.
Of course not.
George Romney had it locked up, apparently. He
Good
went
point,
to Vietnam,
Eric.
And, well, that was a scenario. They went. He never made it to
his
the
His father was a lot more honest
Look,
person.
Don't criticize George Romney. So, I know this
his
really...
His father was a lot more honest.
This really ages me, but I drove a Nash. I actually drove a Nash car at one point in my life. It was a terrible
Nobody
car.
Knows what you're talking about.
George
is that
Romney!
Is that like
George
the Tin Lizzie?
Don't we know American history?
Is that like the Tin Lizzie?
So, Mark!
Just about.
Yes.
So George Romney apparently had the nomination sewn up. He went to the convention, and they decided they wanted someone
Richard
else.
Nixon.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And you're predicting that's going to happen again?
It's not going to happen again.
And who would they put?
We're a long ways from 1968. In 1968, Terry was in prison, I'm sure.
Of course I was.
If he wasn't, he should have been. Every good American was guilty.
Are you kidding? If you were a patriot, you were in prison. Come on.
That's it.
We're a long way from
the only place for an honest man.
Damn
in 1968
right.
in America was prison.
Yeah, and just so you know, I don't want to embarrass anybody, and I certainly don't want to pick anybody, and I'm not going to give out any names or anything, but I just want you to know I'm really in big trouble. Because some close friends of mine have shown up.
You've got a spot pot next to those
and,
cop
and,
cars.
And, one of them works for the federal government, so, in the justice area, so I'm doomed. I just,
Oh, really?
But
you have to go witness protection now?
Yeah.
Is that because of the names you called Mitt Romney?
Sorry. Yeah, I'm doomed.
We've got to go way back in American history. But the question is not why was.
But
Terry,
you're welcome. Anyway.
The question was not why was Terry in prison in 1968. It's why weren't you?
Yes, that is.
That's
the question.
Right. Thoreau, whatever his name is, huh?
Yeah.
I have a great.
I wasn't in prison. I was just in a local jail. A local jail. Nothing major. Well,
that's right.
Yeah.
In
Chicago.
At any rate.
And you don't want to be in a local jail in Chicago.
Let me say this: for all the talk about Mitt Romney, I do say, and I've always said, that the unemployment rate will determine the presidential election more than any single factor.
Another reason he's going to win.
That if it actually dips below 8, Obama wins pretty nicely. If it gets up above 8.5, I think you may be right, Terry. And, but I think it's going to hover between this 8 and this 8.5 level, which means we're going to come up for a very close race. I think that that's when these things like the fact that Romney's lying about when he resigned from Bain, which is, again, the nice thing I like about this one is it's an easy one. It's like, you don't have to complexly examine.
You think it's easy for the average American to figure out this retroactive stuff?
No, that's the point. Nobody buys it. He didn't resign in 99, he resigned in 2002. Nobody buys it in 2002, he resigned in 1999. Nobody buys that, Hussein.
Let me tell you exactly why Mitt Romney is going to win, and I don't even like it, but he is.
Citizens United?
Yeah. Well, yes, basically, that's what it comes down to. I just hate television, you know, these days. I mean, I happened to see one of Mitt's commercials, and it was exactly the same style as the Walker commercial in Wisconsin. Remember Walker spending $27 million compared to the $1 million that the other guy spent. And it was the same kind of commercial. It was extremely kind and gentle. All it did was say nice things about President Obama and how he tried and how he's a good man and he gave it his best. But basically, let's face it, he didn't really know what he was doing.
That's the argument they're going to make.
Is it's praise creating a little bit of doubt, exactly like the commercials that were used in Wisconsin that caused that ridiculous, totally unjustified defeat of the recall there. And that's the same people, the same craftsmen. Uh-oh, there must be Republicans. No. Okay. The English. Oh, they don't give a damn about this. All they care about is the LIBOR. I know.
LIBOR.
Yes. The point is that the same people that created those commercials for Walker are the same people that are creating commercials right now for Romney with the same money backing them. They are skilled. They are craftsmen. And those commercials work.
And I say the other thing is, and we've been talking about this a while.
Are you willing to make a prediction? Because I predict President Obama will be reelected.
Didn't we make a bet on this just last week?
I think a dollar. Another dollar. Just for the record, for the Raucous Caucus records, I'm 2-0 on dollars from Terry. I forgot what our bets were.
Yeah, but other than that, you've been wrong about all elections.
I won two of them, and you lost two of them.
They were minor
bets. I'm going for my third dollar,
you know.
Which at this point is probably Terry's entire net
worth. It is, as a matter of fact. It's only because I predicted back on our first bet that America would achieve equality and justice within a year.
You did not make that prediction.
Right, that was the bet.
You are far too cynical to make that prediction.
Well, the thing is, we are in an experimental time. We are in an experimental time because 100 years.
We bet over healthcare. I bet that healthcare would actually pass.
That's right. You bet it would not.
It all depends on the time frame, Charlie.
It was passed August. I missed
because I said the Supreme Court was going to throw it all out. Remember?
That's true.
And so I missed. However,
and it's going to be repealed once Mitt Romney gets in.
No, it won't. It's impossible.
The Republican governors are not going to go with the exchange program. The Republicans are not going to fund anything so that the plan can be implemented.
Just a second.
It's going to go the same way as the Dodd-Frank bill.
You're wrong.
Look out.
It won't be the first time I say this on the Raucous Caucus, and it won't be the last. You're wrong.
Oh, it is the first time. I know.
Retroactively, maybe. Look. The reason why you're wrong is to repeal the Affordable Care Act requires 60 votes in the Senate.
Yep, no problem.
The Republicans are not going to – I don't care if Mitt – I mean, I care. But if Mitt Romney is elected president and Republicans retain the House, they still can't get rid of the Affordable Care Act because they're not going to get 60 votes.
But can they prevent funding?
They can play with it.
Yeah.
They can harm it.
And that's the game.
They can harm
funding.
That's
the game in Washington.
In your issue of Republican governors, though, I got to tell you this. Did you know that when Medicaid first came out, about 8 states refused to join in, but they found out it was such an overwhelmingly good deal for the states that eventually they all joined in. Arizona, I think, was the last, not until 1983
or
something.
That's not hard to believe.
Did they join in? The point is that in this case, when states are paid 100% at first of all the benefits, they're idiots if they don't join in, because even if you're from Texas, the residents of Texas are paying taxes that are going to people in the other states.
Isn't it axiomatic that if you're from Texas, you're an idiot?
I know, I'm insulting a lot of people. I told you Austin's a nice place. The rest of Texas, I won't vouch for.
That's only because I have relatives there. I know this.
I won't vouch for the rest of Texas.
Well, as I said, as we've been talking about, though, for a while, we are in an experimental time, you know, 50 or 100 years from now.
What do you mean an experimental time?
We're going to look back 50 or 100 years from now, and we're going to say, What happened during the first presidential election after Citizens United? This is the first presidential election after Citizens United.
You mean, you're not trying to tell me that there was no money in the campaigns and elections prior to that.
But then it hit warp drive.
This is a different animal. We will be able to now look back and see how it affected the presidential. So for all we know, all of these traditional factors that political factors, social factors, economic factors that we use to predict who will win and who won't could all go down the toilet.
Let me say what I've said before, because I'm a firm believer that Citizens United affects political races very strongly, but affects the presidential race the least. It affects local races the most, state races the second most, federal, congressional, Senate races next, the president's the least, because at least most Americans, as dumb as many Americans are, they know the name of the president of the United States, and they probably have an opinion about the president of the United States, whereas they may know the name of the senator or congressman, they probably don't know the name of their state legislature, their state representative. So Citizens United can pour all this secret money in and truly affect state houses.
Yes.
Change whether state legislatures make them more Republican. There, I completely agree, Citizens United will have a major, major effect. I think it'll have a lesser effect in the House, an even smaller effect in the Senate, because many more Americans know who their senator is. And it will have an effect, but the least effect, I think, in the presidential race. Does that make sense?
No.
All right. Why not, Terry?
Well, it does, but
thank you for offering that.
It does, but you said it, so Terry and I will never admit that it makes sense.
Well,
simply because you said it.
Retroactively, I'll make it so you agreed with me. So I'll be okay. Why not, Terry?
Why not?
Other than the fact that you're ornery.
Because you keep on hoping that somehow or other...
I'm an optimist. What do you want from me?
No, you keep on thinking that logic is the factor, and that reason is the factor, and that policy is the factor, and it's not. It never has been. Voting is an emotional act, and it always has been and always will be. And it's just a question of who can manipulate the emotions of the American people the most. Given the economic situation that we're in, given the lies and the mythology that has been steeped upon this country for the last umpteen decades, it is unfortunately the Republicans who generally manipulate the emotions of America the best.
Terry.
And there'll be an X factor somewhere, Mark.
Romney is the poster child for outsourcing. He is Mr. Outsourcing. And at a time when the Olympic Games are coming up, and people probably aren't watching the presidential election, but they're watching the Olympics, and the American uniforms are made in China, and at a time when they actually ask Republicans on air again, 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 are you okay with that? And usually they dodge the question 12 times. My favorite answer is they ask the Republican, are you okay with that? He's like, I don't think the Olympics should be politicized. And he's like, okay, but are you concerned about the uniforms they made in China? We should not politicize the Olympics. Yeah, but my question is, are you okay with those uniforms being made in China? You're politicizing the Olympics. No, I just want an answer to a simple question.
The only way that Obama might pull this off.
Of course they're okay with it. There's nothing wrong in the Republican point of view with using Chinese migrant laborers being paid $1 a day to make American uniforms in the Olympics. They don't see anything wrong with it because they don't see anything wrong with outsourcing in general.
And it'll still come down to those last few debates plus all the advertising on how the Americans feel emotionally about this man or that man. And what they're going to feel, at least it's the way the Republicans are going to stack the campaign, is that Obama really, really tried but couldn't pull it off. And so, therefore, it's, quote, time for change. Now, this doesn't make any logical sense. I understand that. But that's what they're going to feel unless Obama comes up with some really strong campaigning, something totally different, as we talked about before, changes his style, somewhat comes up with some other way of campaigning. I don't see how he can possibly win.
If they would only listen to me, they would surely win.
Well, I've
given them the key.
There is that.
That's what that other Nixon said.
Yes, all they have to do is run commercial after commercial with two things. Mitt Romney wants to lower taxes for the rich, and Mitt Romney wants to deregulate Wall Street. Over and over. Let me finish. Over and over.
10 minutes.
Say those two things so much that when people see Mitt Romney's picture, the first two phrases that pop into their mind are lower taxes for the rich and deregulate Wall Street, and they'll win.
Never forget Mr. John Steinbeck, which I've quoted many, 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 many times here, Americans will never, I mean, I'm going to broaden the quote here. He was talking particularly about socialism.
Retroactively, he said this.
Yeah, but no, but he basically said the American people will never ever support socialism or understand the basic social issues because they all believe that sooner or later they will be rich.
But you know what?
Now, the point is with that is even though you're attacking the rich, which Obama is going to do and has been doing.
I would say attacking the rich. I'd say he's tapping into a sentiment, the sentiment of income inequality.
Except that we value wealth with success, and we all want to emotionally be successful.
Yeah.
So therefore, it's like picking on a basketball star, in a sense. We all want to be that athlete. We want to be that successful. We don't want to penalize somebody that successful. It's, again, an emotional reaction. We think wealthy people are the best
people.
I think wealthy people are Bill Gates.
I think income inequality is a winner, and I think that's what they're.
If income inequality were a winner, how the hell did we get in this mess that we're in, and how the hell did we have slavery?
Come on, look. If you look at polls, Terry, they show consistently that the American people, including the majority of Republicans, believe that people over, you can argue whether it's $250,000 over $1 million, but people who make that kind of extreme forms of wealth should be taxed at a higher rate. This isn't something that just wins among Democrats and independents. And
intellectually, sure they do.
No, but what would be interesting is we're coming up in next January on what people are calling the fiscal cliff. And that, of course, is when the Bush tax cuts expire, the Obama tax cuts expire, the payroll tax cuts, the income tax cuts, and also the spending, whether it's spending for the military or spending cuts from the Republicans' threat to shut down the government to not pass the debt ceiling.
Right.
All of this comes into effect January 2013, and people are saying, you know, that'll drive our economy off a cliff. Everyone says, well, it leads to recession. So what's interesting is that the Republicans are saying, we are more than willing to have that recession unless you make sure that millionaires get more money from poor people. And if you're not willing to transfer more wealth from poor people to the millionaires, we are more than willing to let this country
we'll sacrifice everyone
to go to hell in a handbasket. What the Democrats will need to do is they'll need to consistently pass a bill that extends the tax cuts for everyone but the super rich.
Yep.
And then find out the Republicans where they stand and just pass it again and again and again and again. Obama can put it forward. They'll get it through the Senate. It'll be filibustered. That's
okay,
fun.
And that happens and it works. What is that going to change in terms of our economic situation?
It's going to show Americans in the election in November what the Republicans really stand for.
And it'll do something else.
You mean the Americans are actually going to be thinking about January 1 when they vote on November 4?
It's only 2 months later.
Yeah. And the issue of income inequality will be at the forefront. It's something that people will be thinking about, talking about, and I think it's a winning argument.
I know it's a winning argument, and I'm fully in support. I've been preaching about this and talking about this for the last 11 years, but income inequality has been has been increasing, and, you know, Americans' middle class wages have been stagnant since 1979, and the American class, middle class, still thinks it's all going to work out.
And since 2007.
They haven't made any economic profit in all these, 30 years? Something like that, and they don't see the problem yet.
And since 2007, this is the most shocking thing in the Washington Post, since 2007, the median American family, the guy in the middle, the average household, has lost 35% of their net worth just in 5 years.
Yeah, 35% of their wealth, their entire wealth.
One-third of everything they've ever owned is gone.
And they've not regained it, and they're not going to regain it. And a simple little chart again in the paper the other day, if you've lost 35% in the last 5 years, you're not going to regain 35%, even if the market improves by 35%, because you're farther back all the way. It's going to take twice as long to regain.
The top 1% has tripled their income, so someone is happy.
Hedge funds in Mitt Romney are making 19%.
And all these factors are why I say that who are upset, who are saying, you know, we can't get out of the recession and we can't get things back together and we want jobs, blah, 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 don't recognize that we are out of it. We are out of it.
This is what
you got now. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
People think we're going to get out of it
and it's going to come back to the point where people have jobs and we're all doing well. No, the landscape has been changed. This is what we have now. We have a country
where the money
goes to a few people at the top and everybody else suffers. That is the structure of our economy now. That is our economic structure.
It's also the structure that there are going to be any jobs. You are not going to be able to restore manufacturing jobs in the United States of America. That is totally unrealistic. It's not going
to
happen.
Let me give people in our audience some more chance to talk. I know, Eric, you had another comment. Is that right?
Hey, quick, Mark.
Yeah.
Mark, Garland, Terry, I am sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of being sick and tired of having you guys do a drive-by on Mitt Romney. He founded the most successful company in this country, Bain's Chili Bowl.
Bain's Chili Bowl. Oh, wow.
That's
so funny, it really hurts.
And we got Bill.
Go ahead, Bill.
Uh-oh.
Once more with feeling, Romney had a chance to display his expertise. He said he was going to let the auto industry die.
That's right.
Yes.
And kill all the other jobs in the related supply industries. Repeat it.
Let me tell you why President Obama is going to win this election, Terry.
All right.
Let me tell you, I'm trying to hear this. Once again, why you're wrong and why you're going to pay me a dollar? November.
Let me tell you why. Okay.
Because Bill is absolutely right. If you go to a website called electoralvote-vote.com, they show you the various state polls. I've been watching this thing for a couple election cycles before then. In every other election cycle, Ohio was leaning slightly toward the Republican or slightly toward the Democrat. In 2004, it leaned slightly toward the Republican. Bush won Ohio in the election. In 2008, it slightly toward Obama. He won Ohio and won the election. Today, Ohio is a solid 6 points ahead for Obama. Unheard of. It's four months before the election.
Yeah.
It's because of what Bill said. It's because Ohio has a lot of car part shops.
Yep. Yeah.
Ohio and Michigan alone can win this.
Am I not mistaken?
The Republicans have. In contrast,
did not Ohio lose delegates?
They have 20. They have more
than
that.
They've lost delegates.
18, they have
18. Texas has gained.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No, it's not okay.
No, that's enough. The only way we can lose this race is if what happened in Pennsylvania holds, where the Republican Speaker of the House said, Pennsylvania is a blue state. Yeah, they usually vote 6% for the Democrats, but we threw 9% of the people off the voting rolls. Blacks and young people. We threw so many minorities off the voting rolls that we will carry Mitt Romney for
none of this really
That's
matters.
The only way he's going to win.
What matters is if Obama, and I hope in heaven's name that he can find some way to create, I don't even care at this point if it's a little bit, whatever, I won't say that. Somehow or other, he's got to create the optimism and the hope that he created in the past election.
It's hard.
If he doesn't create that, he is in fact, whether I don't like to say this, but he is in fact, in the eyes of the game that we play in America, the mythology, he is a failure. Even the Washington Post, that rag, has now begun to use that word in terms of President Obama.
Real quick, Bill. Okay, I didn't have another comment.
And unless he finds a way to overcome that image of being a failure, he hasn't got a chance.
I didn't hear what you asked, Bill. Okay.
I don't know, anyway,
our time is about up. We're not yet. Okay,
you have time to try to refute that. Go ahead.
Try to refute what?
Bill is going to set the record.
I thought Bill was going to set the
record. What I was going to say, I hope the president's campaign has plans to try to minimize some of the damage the Republicans are trying to do in places like Philadelphia with the voter ID.
Although
he also has, at least in Pennsylvania, a possible counter strategy, which is places like, did you know, for example, that Reading, Pennsylvania, that all a bastion of middle America, is now a majority Latino city.
There are a lot of places,
I suspect, between Philadelphia and Pittsburgh where the Democrats have an opportunity to recoup some of the damage the Republicans may do with their voter suppression in Philadelphia and Pittsburgh.
Okay, let me say this
now
about
we have
that.
One minute.
We've Eric Holder, the Attorney General of the United States, I think is doing a very good job, whether it's Pennsylvania or Texas or Florida, in going after these voter ID laws as he has to do. And I think he's doing a good job on that. Let me just say this. I had a big fight.
There's not time to overturn them.
I just want to mention I had a big fight with a website called MediaBistro.com. If you want to defend my honor, go there. And
MediaBistro.com?
Yeah, defend your honor?
Defend my honor because this is...
Oh, my. That's a stretch.
I was one of the first to report...
I mean, Garland and I will do anything for you.
But. On health care. And they got it all wrong there, as the media often does. So
Retroactively, it won't make a difference.
Retroactively,
this show hasn't even happened.
This is Mark Levine. I am retroactively with...
Garland Nixon.
And...
Terry D. Kester.
And we are the Raucous Caucus. Please come visit us next Tuesday and every Tuesday in July at Ben's Next Door, 1211 U Street Northwest.
Tuesday at 7.
We are signing off.
Good night.